Welcome back to Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's your host, Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us right now on the BetUSA.com inside line, he covers the Boston Red Sox. He's Evan Drellick. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, Patrick? How are you?
Man, it's been a few minutes since we've gotten to talk to you.
Yeah, we knew we'd be reunited at some point, didn't we?
Oh, we did. And pretty soon you will be down here. So when you come down, where are you going to eat?
Oh, man. You know, I liked I lived in the Heights, and I liked Revival. I'm a breakfast guy. You know, the Heights was just starting to get built up when I left, and now it's got all these shops everywhere and whatever. But that's probably my first stop.
There we go. Well, it's gonna be good to see. You know, you are uniquely qualified to cover this series, considering you've covered both teams, and you've been. How long have you been the Red Sox now? 2 years or 3 years?
This is actually year three of being back in Boston. So I went Boston, Houston, Boston. So it's been a couple. It's been a minute, as the kids would say, since I've covered the Astros. But I mean, a lot of that group is still the same. You know, it's been a few additions, but the core hasn't changed that much from the 2015 playoff run, you know?
No, I'm just trying to figure out how it's been 3 years, and I look so much older, and you look the same. What's up with that?
I've gained a few pounds. You'll see how that goes when I catch you at the yard.
All right, so Boston handles business at the stadium over the Yanks, 4-3, send them home. I can't say I'm upset about that. Admittedly, I was rooting for a five-game series and a 19-inning game five, but if somebody had a win in four, I can't say I'm upset. It's not the Yankees. So let's talk about your Red Sox, because you got some guys on the team right now in that four-game series. Look, I know it's a short series, and you can't necessarily, you know, look at guys' performances over four games. It's just a short sample size. But J.D. Martinez is raking. Kinsler's hitting. Bogarts is hitting. Mookie Betts, not so much. Anybody actually worried about Mookie, or short series, short sample size, no big deal?
Well, the way the Red Sox lineup is built, if you can shut down Betts and Martinez, and the level of scouting that the Astros are going to put into this, you know, with all the technology and the computer stuff and all the analytics, yada, yada, those two would be the real targets, because when you look at the rest of the lineup for the Red Sox, yeah, Ian Kinsler did well yesterday, but he's really been kind of a dud at the plate for more than a month now. You know, he's starting to heat up all of a sudden. The bottom of the Red Sox order just isn't too impressive. And Benintendi's had a decent showing. He looks like he was comfortable in the division series. But the Red Sox offense is not the Yankees offense in so much as they don't have the same home run threat. They do, like the Astros offense, have the contact ability, and that's what kind of killed the Yankees in those final couple of games. You know, it was two home runs hit by the Red Sox last two games of that series. One was Christian Vasquez, who's not much of a hitter, and the other was Brock Holt off a freaking catcher. So the Red Sox offense can be tamed, but it would start with neutralizing Betts and Martinez.
Now, I know that Mookie is the favorite for AL MVP. How much of Mookie's success do you attribute to the fact he's a great player? And he is a great player. How much of it do you also attribute to J.D. Martinez' presence in the lineup? Because 2016, with Big Poppy in the lineup, Mookie raked. Last year, not quite as much. This year, absolutely raking, because J.D. went nuts.
Yeah. So there's pretty direct evidence from Mookie and JD that Mookie's swing is a product of JD Martinez. In spring training, Mookie and I sat down and talked about this at one point in the middle of the season. It was an experiment. He basically adopted the JD Martinez approach, not entirely, but it didn't go well at first in spring training. I think he started off 0-for-16, and he thought it wasn't going to work. He was worried about it, but it's more than just having the big bopper in the lineup that lets Mookie Betts be good. You know, that's the old philosophy that you need that kind of presence. All that's true. Like, it's good to have it, but there's more than that with J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts. It really does come down to the studious approach that J.D. Martinez has and how he's passed that on to guys, but in particular, Betts, because we know that Betts has made changes because of Martinez.
Evan Drellick covers the Boston Red Sox with us on the BetDSI.com inside line. Covers them for NBC Sports Boston. Also does some stuff with MLB Network. Author of The Big 50, Boston Red Sox. So if you're a Red Sox fan, if you're not following Evan, I don't know what the hell you're doing. You're doing it wrong. And two, buy the book because it's great. Evan, let's get into the pitching staff because we saw Chris Sale come in relief. Is that going to be anything that affects him? He went through 13 pitches, but is that anything that's going to affect him? How does their rotation line up for this ALCS against the Astros?
Well, it looks like it's going to line up the exact same way it did in the division series. There's some thought that Eovaldi, who pitched great in game three against the Yankees, would move up to game two because the division series game two starter was David Price, who you may have heard has had some trouble in the postseason with a tune of a 6.03 ERA. But Alex Cora said today in a couple separate interviews that it's Price in game two. So that means Eovaldi is going to be game three and Porcello four. I guess they could technically flip-flop Porcello and Eovaldi, but I don't know why they would do that. So it's the same rotation. I don't think Sale throwing just 13 pitches is going to hurt them. I think it could have been problematic if they lost the game. And then let's say Sale had gone out and pitched badly in game five against the Yankees, then you would sit there and wonder, all right, did they do something wrong with Sale? But you know, having him throw 13 pitches there is not really a difference. Sale is not himself, or at least his best self at the moment. You know, his velocity is down. He's coming off a shoulder inflammation situation. But he can still be effective. He's somebody who changes speeds normally. I'm curious to see how the Astros lineup handles him compared to the Yankees lineup. The Yankees actually worked his pitch count better than they did anybody else in the series. So, you know, a lot does start with the Red Sox starting pitching because the Astros' goal in every single game should be to get into the Red Sox bullpen because it's easily their weakest area.
Now, the Astros have had their fair share of bullpen implosions. Who would you say has the better bullpen between the Sox and the Stros?
Oh, I think multiple people were joking in the division series that you could have probably fielded a better bullpen with the relievers the Astros left off the roster than what the Red Sox threw out there. Now, the Red Sox relievers, outside of Craig Kimbrell, actually did pretty damn well. Matt Barnes, Joe Kelly, Heath Hembree, Ryan Brazier, who nobody's even heard of, they combined for 9 2/3 innings. No earned runs. There are a couple inherited runners that are allowed to score, but everybody outside of Kimbrel was pretty strong. Now, I don't know if that keeps up because they have high walk rates, those guys, and Kimbrel has got to be better. So I would take the Astros bullpen over the Red Sox. I don't know what playoff team I would say the Red Sox is a better bullpen than, honestly.
Evan Drellick covers the Red Sox with us on the BetDSI.com inside line for NBC Sports. Evan, when you look at the Astros rotation, you know, the guys who are expected to start, so Verlander, Gerrit Cole, Dallas Keuchel, Charlie Morton. Verlander and Cole throw a lot of high cheese. DK's a nibbler. He's going to pound you down in the zone. And Charlie Morton's going to throw that hard, heavy fastball down in the zone. Which, you know, for the strengths of the Astro lineup, are they stronger against high fastballs? Are they stronger against low fastballs? Are they stronger against the softer stuff that Dallas Keuchel's going to throw? Which guy do they match up best with?
They've had trouble this year with premier pitchers. I wish I had the statistic in front of me, but you know, if you go back and look at how they did against the likes of Aaron Nola, for example. There are a few games where Sean Manaea did well against them. They had a lot of trouble with Blake Snell. They had trouble with lefties, so that might not play in as much, I guess, Keuchel aside. But I don't think Verlander and Cole are somehow rendered useless because of the Red Sox lineup. They're not one of the worst teams when it comes to 95 and up. You know, you can look that stuff up on Baseball Savant these days, and and see how the different teams do against that type of velocity. But they have not dominated premier pitching, and they didn't dominate postseason teams, period, in the regular season. It's pretty even. So, I thought the Yankees were going to beat the Red Sox. I think the Astros beat the Red Sox. But, hey, I was recently wrong, so don't trust me.
All right, so I guess the next one is, who in the Astros lineup is going to be the hardest guy for them to deal with?
Well, it kind of depends on the state of their lineup at the moment, right? If Correa gets going, if Springer is doing what he did in the division series, they had no trouble dispatching Giancarlo Stanton. The difference between the Astros and the Yankees is that discipline that the Astros have, that they are a lineup that not only has a huge amount of power, but makes contact. And that was the trouble for the Yankees. They just did not have that ability to get something going outside of walks and home runs. So I don't know if there's one particular hitter. I think it's more about the construction. I don't think the, you talk about the Astros lineup, there are probably more premier threats in that lineup, or at least equal to the Red Sox, because Xander Bogaerts had a fantastic year for the Red Sox and kind of really asserted himself as kind of the third guy in that group. But I can't say that Altuve is more important than Springer. And it's the up and down ability of the Astros that makes them so dangerous.
All right, Evan, for the Red Sox to dethrone the Astros, what are the three things that have to go right for the Red Sox?
Well, you probably need similar starting pitching performances, at least at some point, to what they got in the division series, where Rick Porcello comes out and truly executes, hits his spots. There have been different versions of Rick Porcello. He's not the biggest name guy, even though he won a Cy Young, but that's the kind of thing that can be a difference maker. You absolutely need continued success from the relievers besides Craig Kimbrel. You can't, if we assume Kimbrel to be a constant, which he hasn't been, you need more than just one. And there's got to be somebody else that steps up and continues to step up. Matt Barnes might be that guy. Then I look to the bottom of the Red Sox order, and you saw Brock Holt hit for the cycle. Sandy Leone might be out of a job. We'll see here if he catches Chris Sale. Sandy Leone was the worst offensive player in the majors at any position in the second half and one of the worst overall at any position for the entire year. Usually catches Chris Sale, but he's automatic out. He just does nothing, and maybe he's due to run into a home run one of these days. But when you get to the bottom of that Red Sox order with Ian Kinsler and Jackie Bradley Jr., it can feel pretty empty sometimes. So you need the lineup beyond the top guys to produce. You need somebody in the bullpen to step up, and you need to stay away from the bullpen, which only happens with starting pitching.
He's Evan Drellick. He covers the Red Sox for NBC Sports Boston, also with MLB Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Evan Drellick, Drellich, Evan Drellick, on the BetDSI.com Inside Line. Hope to see you on Wednesday and Thursday, my friend.
Patrick, I'll see you then. Good talking to you.
All right, Evan. Appreciate your time, buddy. Evan Drellick, NBC Sports Boston, covering the Boston Red Sox. Our guest lines are sponsored by BetDSI.com. Use promo code NATION25. Get a $25 free wager today. Get all the plays on the inside line. BetDSI.com.